We begin the current daf in Satzivam, Staf Lamed Gimel. We begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the intricate discussion of the previous daf. That is, we had a Braisa which was related to the topic of the Mishnah on Lamed Bezim et Alf, which discussed a very simple case. If, let's say, there's two brothers married to two sisters. So now when his brother dies, his wife is forbidden, even if he dies without any children, because she's an erva of Osav Achis Eshtoi. Question is, how many Isurim do you violate if you anyways go ahead and you cohabit with his brother's wife? And that is, there's obviously that it's his brother's wife, that's Eshes Ach, and it's Osav Achis Eshtoi. So the Machlokes brought in the Braisa was, Reb Shimon says you're only going to be liable for Eshes Ach, only because it's your brother's wife, whereas Reb Yehi says that no, you're going to be liable for both Arayas. A, that she's his brother's wife, and also because it's Achay Sishta, it's his wife's sister. Now, the Gemara clearly illustrated that Machlekes is dependent on the concept if you say Issachal Issar or not. Do you say, like Reb Shimon, that no, there's only one prohibition? You can't make her doubly Asr, she's already Asr because of Eish Asach. But you're not going to be liable also for Achay Sishta. But Reb Yossi says that no, you could have an Issar compounding on another Issar, and even though it's already Asr because of Eish Asach, you can make it also Asr for another Erva. There's a double Issar you're doing of Achay Sishta. Now, the Gemara on Amud Beis elaborated and clarified, based on the question the Gemara had, that definitely Reb Yossi agrees by the concept of what's called Issar Meisav. Issar Meisav means when you're extending the Issar of a certain object or person from one person being Usr and extending it to other people, that new extension, which is coming from a different shame, a different designation of Isr, well, then that will also go back and add and reflect on the original thing that it's Usr. For example, in the case that we're discussing, if the living brother marries the first sister, then the brother who just dies now, he only married the other sister second. There you have what's called a migui, which would be an amigo of Isser Meisiv. That since there's adding Isser to this woman that he wants to, that now that his brother died, he wants to cohabit with, that when he married second, it added an Isser to the other brothers. Now the reason was because let's say there's two brothers marrying two sisters, but there could be a whole family of brothers, it could be 10 brothers, but two of them married two sisters. The first one that married, that other sister, that single one, there was an Isser of a Chais Ishtaitar, which was only between him and her, because he was the only one married to the sister. Now, when his brother, the one who just dies now, when he married second, he made this other woman not only Usr on the other brother who was already Usr because it was a Chais Ishtaitar, he made Usr on all the other brothers, because now it's an Eishes Ach. So since it's making her Usr on other people, so it's extending her Isser, not just to the one person, the other brother that it was up until now, but it's extending it to other people. So then because it's extending it to them, that is of Eish Asach, that designation will also apply to the other brother who already had it usr because of a Chais Ishtai. That's what's known as Isser Meisav. That the Gemara asked, and which was the Gemara's assumption, the Reb Yossi would not say it in the case of where Nasa Meis. If let's say the brother that died, he married first, which made this woman an Eish Asach to all the brothers. And only then did the other now living brother marry the second sister. Now there's no Isser Meisav. There's not extending this woman to prohibit other people. She was already prohibited to all the brothers because of Eish Asach. When the other brother then marries the sister, that makes it a Chais Ishtai, he was already forbidden to her because of Eish Asach. So what extending is there? Now the only extending would be not an Isser Meisav, but rather it'd be what's called an Isser Koil, an inclusive Isser. Meaning that since when this second brother, the one that's alive now, who we call the Chai, marries the other sister, now she becomes forbidden because all the other sisters from that family become Usr to him, the second brother, because of a Chais Ishtai. Now he married the other sister, she's his wife, that will include the other woman who was already married to the other brother who was already Usr to him because of Eish Asach. But in that, the Gemara had assumed on the Aflamat Beis that we don't say Isser Koil. So therefore the Gemara says that it's true that Rabbi Yisrael would agree that you would not say Isser Chalal Isser, but the reason, what the significance of it would be, is that it would be considered a Rasha to then be buried in a certain more severe cemetery because of that you violate two Isurim, although in punishment you're not going to be getting both. The Rabbi Yisrael would agree that Ein Isser Chalal Isser. That was what the Gemara's discussion was. But the Gemara then said that it seems actually that if Rabbi Yisrael does say Isser Koil or not, which we said that Abi Sarbisi says you say Issa Maisif. You'll say Issa Chalal Issa, which is when the living brother married first and created Achais Ishtay, and then Eshasach came and then extended it. But regarding Isser Kail, where the one who died first, he created Eshes Ach first, and only then was the Isra of Achais Isha created, where that's Isser Kail, that the Gemara wants to actually, that would be telling the Machlegis, Rebbe Chiya and Bar Kappara, which that took the remainder of the previous staff, which they spoke about three similar type sounding cases, which essentially that you have somebody that's doing two things wrong, but there was a Machlegis in their interpretation if you're going to be punished for one of them or for two of them. And those three cases were when you have a non-Kayan doing the Avodah on Shabbos, where Rebbe Chiya said you're going to be violating two Isurim. One, that you're a non-Kayan doing the Avodah, and secondly, doing Avodah, Malacha on Shabbos, which is forbidden. Which Bar Kappara said that no, you're only going to be liable for one, and that's because they're both dependent really on one underpinning, as the Gemara will elaborate on this stuff. Same thing for a case of a Balmum, a Kayan that's blemished, that does the Avodah in the state of Tumah, where, again, they have the machlekes, are you violating two, which a Baal Mum is not allowed to do the Avodah, and that you're Tamei, and since you're a Baal Mum, you cannot do it in a state of Tumah, where Bar Kappara said that, no, there's only really one problem of having a blemish of a Mum, because if he wasn't blemished, then if he was a regular Kain, then he would be able to do it in the state of Tumah, in the situation where that's necessary. And the third similar case was when the non-Kain eats a carbon of an oif that has Malika, that was not, it's not regular slaughtering, but it's slaughtering that works for Kahanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, he's a non-Kohen who's not allowed to eat from Kachim. And moreover, since he's not a Kohen and he's consuming Malika, which is not Shechita for a non-Kohen, so then he's violating two. Or like Bar Kappara says that no, really, essentially, there's only a problem of Kachim, because if he was a Kohen who's allowed to have Kachim, then Malika wouldn't be a problem for him. That was the discussion of the three Machlekes in the Bar Kappara and Reb Chiya. Now that's where our current daf begins, where the Gemara wants to say, so, but my Kamefuke, what exactly is the underlying principle of this Machlekes of Reb Chiya and Bar Kappara regarding these three cases if you're going to be liable for two Isurim or just for one? So that the Gemara wants to say, the Isser Kail, which the Gemara shortly will explain what is the Isser Kail that we see by these three cases that they argue on, but it's going, Valibad Reb Yaisi is going according to the opinion of Reb Yaisi, who, as we explained in the previous staff, says by other Isurim, that Isser Chalal Isser, you can have compounding, you could add on one Isser on top of another Isser based on a migui, and that is, although if it's already Asur, what are you making Asur again? Oh, but since, because this is an extension or an inclusive Isser, so then we'll even add it to this too. That's what they're arguing about. And that's like what we said, there's the continuation of the previous stuff, where we want to know, would Reb Yaisi say his migui of Isser Chalal Isser, even if, let's say, you have the case of Nasa Mace, where the dead brother, the other brother who died now, if he married first, where he created the Issa of Eshes Ach, there is the question, would Reb Yaisi still say that by the other brother, the living brother who he married second, thus creating Achais Isha, which is only an Isser Kail, it's not extending this woman's Isser onto other people, she's already maxed out on who she's being ushered to all the other brothers based on Eshes Ach. Only question is, would Isser Kail of the other brother's Achais Isha, who was making himself forbidden on unwhole her sisters, his wife's sisters, which one of the sisters is the other one married to his brother, which is not extending again her Isser, but it would make her included in that category of Achais Isha, would Reb Yaisi say that or not? The Gemara wants to explain over here that is the Machlekes, Reb Chiya and Bar Kappara, if Reb Yaisi says it's a Kail or not. How do we see that? So the Gemara explains, Reb Chiya holds that the reason why those three cases you're going to be chayev for two Isurim is because he says, Reb Yaisi be Issa Kail, Machayev Tarti. Reb Yaisi holds that by an inclusive Isser, you would be liable for two Isurim. And that's because, as we saw in the Bryce that was mentioned on the previous daf in Amud Aleph, that he says you're going to be liable for your brother's wife, that's also your wife's sister, because two brothers married two sisters, for Eshes Ach and Achais Isha. Now, Reb Chiya learns that that's even in the case where the mace, the brother who died, married first, and only then did the living brother marry the other sister second. With there, as we explained, there's no Isser Maisiv when the second one marries, because it's not extending that other sister's Isser to all the other brothers, meaning they're already also because of Eshes Ach, it would only be a case of Isser Kail. Now, however, we would say that since by marrying this sister, his wife, he becomes also to all the other sisters, so that would include that his brother's wife in that Isser of Achais Isha also. So you see that there's a halacha of Isser Kail according to Reb Yaisi. which Gemara will explain shortly how do you see that in those cases that they're arguing about, but that's what Reb Chiya held. And Bar Kappar said, "B'loy mechayev al-chad." Bar Kappar argued, he says, no, Reb Yesi, when does he make a person liable for Issachal al-Issa, to be liable for two Isurim? That's only if the living brother marries first, and then the one who died married the other sister second. We're there, as we explained, that's Issa of Maisev. That would then be extending this other sister who is single first, who now got married, not only is she usher on the one brother because it was his wife's sister, but she's usher to all the brothers of Eish Yisach. So you're extending her usher, so that would also then extend it to the other brother who was already usher of Achis Isha. Now Rashi clarifies, so what we have to say based on this, according to what Bar Kappar is saying, that the brisa that we mentioned on which was the source of this machlokes of Reb Shimon Reb Yisi on the previous daf, that Reb Shimon said, who he was the one that argued Reb Yisi, that you're only going to be liable for Eish Yisach, which we explained, that's because it's told about a case where the mace, that brother who died married first, so therefore could thus creating Eish Yisach first, and then the living brother married, so Achayis Isha is never going to be chal because he holds Ein Yisachal Alissa. You have to say Rashi says that it's Reb Chi who taught that, but Bar Kappar obviously didn't, because Bar Kappar says that the case we're talking about is when the living one married first and then the dead one married, because that would be a case of Isser Maisif. And that's why Rabbi Yisrael would hold Rabbi Chayiv too, but Rabbi Yisrael would agree that if the mace married first and then the Chai, which would be in the case of Isser Kael, the Rabbi Yisrael would agree that you're not Chayiv too and you'd only be Chayiv on one. So that's what we wanted to say is actually Machlekes, if Rabbi Yisi says Issa Koyle or not. Now the Gemara explains, how do you see that? Uma Issa Koyle Kacha, where do you see by these three cases that Bar Kappara and Reb Chiya argue about, that you see that they're arguing in Rabbi Yisi's opinion in Issa Koyle if you're going to be Chayiv 2 or 1? So Gemara explains, there were three cases that they spoke about. So Bishloy Mazar says, okay, I understand in the first case that they argued about, when you have a non-Koyin doing the Malacha on Shabbos, that their mi'ikara, before Shabbos, shari b'malacha v'asba avayda. A non-Kohen is allowed to do malacha, it's not Shabbos, it's Thursday, Friday, but he's forbidden to do the avayda because he's a non-Kohen. Now, asi lo Shabbos, then Shabbos comes, then you say the Isser Koil, which is migui, that since the kol mitzvah b'malacha, since the non-Kohen becomes forbidden to do any malacha because now it's Shabbos, so mitzvah nami b'avayda, so it becomes also forbidden to do the avayda. In other words, that's what's called Isser Koil. It's inclusive. Inclusive in malacha, which is all lamates malachas, includes the avayda in the Beis HaMikdash, which has in it Isserei Shabbos. So that would be a case of Isser Koil that they would be arguing about, again, if you say that you chayv 2 or 1, that's Machlekes Bar Kappar and Reb Chiya, which would be, again, and this Machlekes, does Reb Yisi say Isser Koil chayv 2 or 1? Now, as Rashi clarifies, in this case, it's not an Isser Maisif, because you're not expanding an Isser on something to other things. In other words, which in this case is the Avoida, that is the object, which is usher. You're not saying the avoid is not only usher to this person, but rather to other people. It's saying that we're then including the avoida in the Isser of Shabbos, which includes all types of malachas. As Rashi explains, what would be a case of Isser Maisev? Would be, for example, if you would be able to say the following case. That is, avoida, doing avoida in the Beis HaMikdash originally was usher for non-Kohen, but permitted for Kohen. Now, Shabbos, when Shabbos comes along, that since that Isser of Avoida was only Usser up until now to non-Kohen, now makes it even Usser for Kohen to do Avoida because of Shabbos. So then you would say that, oh, it's extending the Isser, the object that's Usser, which is the Avoida, is extending to other people to Kohen too. So therefore that would extend and make the Isser for the non-Kohen, including not only of Avoida, but even on Shabbos, that would be in the case of Isser Maisa, but Rashi says that's not possible to say because on Shabbos is actually not Usser for Kohen to do the Avodah, but that would be a case of Isser Maisa. But the case that we're discussing is obviously a case of Isser Koil, so that makes sense, Bar Kappar and Priya's argument, do you say you chayv for 2 or 1? That's the first case. And I understand regarding their second case to argue too, which was a case of a Baal Mum, a blemish Kohen, who also was Tomei. So there, it's also a case of Isser Koil, because Meikara, originally before he became Tomei. So Shari Bachila, he was permitted to consume from Kadshim, because as it says in the Pasuk, I mean, Kadshim Yoichalim Beyikra Chof Aleph, that a blemished Kain is allowed to eat from the Kadshim, but for Asra Ba'avoida, but he's not allowed to do the Avoida because he's a Baal Mum. Now, Itamile, when he then becomes Tomei, then you could say, Migu Yav Isser Koil, Migu Dukom Mitzvah Ba'achila, since the he becomes forbidden now to consume kachim, because now that he's tamei, a tamei is not allowed to eat from kachim. So mitzer nami. So since there's an acquisition of the designation of tuma on this blemished kayin, because it does do something to him, it makes him forbidden to something else, which is for eating. So he's saying that then it would also make forbidden him ba'avoida, because that's an isra kail. Although he was already forbidden to do the avoida because he was blemished, but since there's a designation of tuma for other things, that will then include his prohibition of, oh, you're tamei, you can't do avoida either. So that would then be an isra kail. So I understand that they're also arguing ayichayev 2 or 1. Because they argue if Rabbi Yossi says Issachal Isser, not only by Issa Maisa, but even by Issa Kail. But the problem is, how can you say that this is their machlek is? Because regarding the third case, it doesn't make sense. Ilamalika, but regarding the third case, when you have a non-Kayin, a Zar, who then consumes Kachim that was slaughtered through Malika, through the Kayin's big thumb making a hole by the nape of the neck. Because there bevas achasid mishkachasla. It's actually only possible to get both of those Isurim if it comes simultaneous. But be'isr kail le'mishkachasla, it's not possible to have it in the case of when it's in the case of isr kail. As Rashi explains, because at the moment that Malika happens, actually that's when both of these isurim are coming into play. Because as long as the bird wasn't having Malika done to it, so then there was a different prohibition, that of a prohibition of me'ila. That's not the prohibition of zaris, of a non-Kayin that is designated regarding Karbonus and Kachim, because that's when the Karbon is actually slaughtered, that's when it becomes permitted for Kahanim. When the Malika is done, because when the Malika is done, that's when the Isra of Me'ila is taken away, because even the Kayin can't consume it until the Shechita or the Malika is done to it. Now, but once the Malika is done to it, that's when there's now a prohibition of a non-Kayin from consuming of it, as it says, Zar lo Yoichel. But that's also the same moment that then the Isra Malika happens. So that's simultaneous. So how can you say that the Machlek is Barka Parnim Chiyah? Is if Rabbi Yossi says his designation of Isra Chal Alissa by Isra Koyl and not only by Isra Maisiv, as we see in these three cases, that makes sense for the first two cases as we just illustrated. But for the third case, it's not possible to have it in the case conceptualization of Isra Koyl. It only happens at the same time. It can't be that later on it gets included into something else. So the Gemara concedes and says, you're right, this is not a source for what we had assumed on the previous stuff, that this would be a machloikis b'kapon Reb Chiya if Rabbi Yossi holds Isra Koyl or not. Ella, rather, they're arguing about something else. K'miflgi b'isra b'vas achas v'lib Rabbi Yossi, you're right. As we see from the third case, they're arguing in the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, but they're arguing what will happen by simultaneous isra, that is, if you're going to be chaya for two or for one. That Reb Chiya Saver, Reb Yossi, Be'isr Bevas Achas Mechayev Tarti. He holds that just like Reb Yossi, as we see, says Isr Chalal Isr, that you'll be chayev for Isr Maisiv. He says the same thing will be, that if the Isr happens simultaneously, you'll also be chayev for both Isurim. Because as we see before, that he says Yechayev for two. For example, if let's say a person has relations with a woman that's his brother's wife and his wife's sister, that it's possible that case could be that it happened at the same time too, and still Rabbi Yossi saying you'll be chayav for both of them. As Rashi explains, the case would be talking about where if both brothers made one shaliach, one messenger, to go ahead and be mekadesh two sisters, because each one wants to get married to one of their sisters. Now the two sisters also made one shaliach to receive the kedushin from that person's shaliach. Now therefore, when that shaliach gives over the shlichus to that other shaliach, both kedushin are happening simultaneous. So she's becoming Achos Isha and Eshes Ach at the same time. And there Reb Chiya says, or Reb Yossi would agree, that even by Isra Vas Achas, you'll be Chayev on Shnayim. Whereas Abba Kapar Sava, he argues, he holds Lemechayev Elachada, he holds that no, you're only going to be liable for one, the more stringent one. And when Reb Yossi said that you'd be liable for two, is only by a case of Isra Moisev, when you're extending the Isra, where the living brother, the one who's still alive, he married one of the sisters first, and then the second brother, which he created Achis Isha on that other girl, then when the other brother married her, making Isser Eshesach, extending her Isser not just to that previous brother, but to all the brothers, that's when Rabbi Yossi says you'll be chayv for two, but Isser Vasachas, you'll only be chayv on one, as we see that the third case is talking about a case of Isser Vasachas, and that's what they argue about. But now the Gemara asks to clarify, okay, so fine, we explained the third case is Vasachas. But regarding the first two cases, my isra bas achas ikahacha, where do you find by them that they're going to be an Isser that happens simultaneous to explain that that's what they're arguing about in Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara explains, regarding the first case of Zarsha Shemesh B'Shabbos, when a non-Kohen does the Avodah on Shabbos, it's Kagoin the Icy Shtei Cyrus. It's when he becomes an adult, when he has two pubic hairs that are, they come today, and the day is B'Shabbos. On this Shabbos, where now you can't say like we had said before, that, oh, originally he was permitted in Malacha, but is Usher to do the Avodah in Beis HaMikdash, because it's not true. He didn't have any Isurim up until today when he became adult. Now, the Havilah Huzaris for Shabbos, Bahadei Dodi, with that, it's a case of when he becomes a non-Kohen, meaning the Isur Zaris of doing the Avodah Beis HaMikdash. And the Isur of Malacha and Shabbos happened simultaneously at the same time on Shabbos. But had he brought two pubic hairs during the weekday, so then he would have already had the Isur Zaris before the Isur of Shabbos, and that would have been a different case. But the case that they're arguing about is the Isur Vasachas, when it happens at the same time, when he becomes an adult on Shabbos, he becomes thus simultaneously forbidden doing the Malacha in the Beis HaMikdash and doing Malacha on Shabbos. Regarding the second case of Balmum Nami, also you have by the case of a blemished Kohen who is also Tamei, you could also find that that's a case of Isur Vasachas. It's talking about a case where when he brings two hairs, he's already Tamei, meaning he became Tamei before he became an adult. And thus, when he's Tamei and he's already blemished, he develops two pubic hairs, becomes an adult, then that means to say that at that same time, when he becomes an adult, he has both Isurin happening, which is they're both dependent on him becoming adult when he becomes a Mechuyev Mitzvahs, that then he's a blemished and he's Tamei, and thus it's happening at the same time. Where his blemish, the prohibition of being blemished and doing the Avodah, and his problem of being Tamei and doing the Avodah are happening simultaneously. And again, that's Machlekes, Rebchi and Bakapara, if Rebbi Yossi would agree that you have two or one. Inam, the Gemara says, regarding the second case, you could say, is Tomat Shechatach Etzboyei, where the Kohen cuts off his finger, which that's the blemish, Bisak and Tameya with an impure knife, where then he becomes Tamei at the same moment that he's cutting with the knife, and he cuts off his finger, so you have the Tumah and the Mum is happening at the same time. And that's the Machlekes Rebchi Bakapara, not in as what we had assumed in Issa Koil, but rather in Issa Vas Achas. If according to Rebbi Yossi, the Chayv two or just one. Now the Gemara asks that the problem is that, as we had mentioned on the previous daf, on Amud Beis, regarding these three Machlekes and Rebchi Bakapara, that as the Gemara said, their discussion that they had, that each one stood up and swore and said, this is as I heard from Rebbe. I heard that Rebchi says that you're going to be Chayv for two. And Bakapara stood up and he swore, he said, I heard from Rebbe, only Chayv one. So now the Gemara wonders, exactly how do we resolve this contradiction? Each one could stand up and swear that he heard from Rebbe two and he heard from Rebbe only Mechayev one. So the Gemara explains. Bishlem the Rebbe Chia, we can explain according to Rebbe Chia where he can establish his opinion and he could establish a legitimacy for Bar Kappara's opinion as follows. Ki asne, when did Rebbe teach Lididei to Rebbe Chia that you can be Mechayev two? Ali b'de Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe was telling him, according to Rebbe Yossi's opinion, that Rebbe Yossi says you could have a compounded Isser. So not only did Rebbe teach him that you could have Issa Chalal Issa, let's say an Issa Maisa, but you could even say it in Issa Vasachas. Now, although Bar Kappara seems to argue in him, says that's not a contradiction, because Ki Asna Bar Kappara, when Rebbe had taught to Bar Kappara that you're only going to be Chayav one, that was a Libud Rebbe Shimon. That was going according to Rebbe Shimon, as we saw on the previous daf. Rebbe Shimon held that you don't say Issa Chalal Issa, you could only have one Issa and that's it. Now, that Rebbe Chia held that Bar Kappara had made a mistake, and he thought that Rebbe was teaching him according to Rebbe Yossi, that although Rebbe Yossi says Issa Chalal Issa, you could have two Isurim, but not if it happens at the same time. So therefore, he finds a legitimacy for Bar Kappara, but Bar Kappara was mistaken. But the question is, according to Bar Kappara, that he says that Rebbe told him, even according to Rebbe Yossi, who's the more stringent in the sense of compounding Isurim, that still Rebbe told him a leniency that even Rebbe Yossi would hold when it happens at the same time. You're only going to be chayiv for one. So then according to who would he try to legitimize and say that Rebbe was teaching Rebbe Chia as a stringency? Would it be that according to Bar Kappara, Rebbe Chia shakur mishaker? According to Bar Kappara, it sounds like that Rebbe Chia is lying, because it couldn't be that Rebbe had taught Rebbe Chia that according to Rebbe Yossi, who's the only one you could say it and that you can be chayiv for two, if according to Bar Kappara he's saying that Rabbi had taught him, even the Rabbi Yosi, the only chayiv one. So how could Bar Kappara legitimize that Rabbi Chiya is not a liar? So there the Gemara says that you're right. We have to, we wanted to say their argument was an Issa Koyle, we said that's not the argument. Then we wanted to say their Machlekes was regarding Issa Basachas and Rabbi Yosi. Now the Gemara says you can't say that because according to that it will come out that Bar Kappara is calling Rabbi Chiya a liar. So Ella, the Gemara says, rather, kamiflagi be iser vasachas. You're right, they're arguing regarding a simultaneous iser, but valiba de Reb Shimon. They're arguing according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, and that is as follows. What Reb Chiya was saying was that even though you're right, as we had in the Brice in the previous daf, that Reb Shimon argues and he says that when you have two brothers marrying two sisters, that when one brother cohabits with the other brother's wife, that you're only going to be chai for eshes ach, only for one and not for two. That was only talking about in the case of when it's an Isser Koil, which as we explained in the previous daf, that's why you can be chayv, as he said, only in Eishas Ach, and not in the Chayis Isha, where you already have her being Usser on as many people as she's going to be Usser on all the brothers. Then when the other brother marries and creates a Chayis Isha, which is for all the sisters, which includes this sister also, that is married to the one brother who just died, that's just an Isser Koil. She's being included in that other Isser. And that's where Reb Shimon says, you only mechayev one. But in that, Reb Chiya says, but if it happens simultaneous, then Reb Shimon would agree that you would be chayev for two. And that's since neither one came before the other, since happening at the same time, Reb Shimon would agree that you would be chayev for two. Now that Bar Kappara argues, and he says that no, that Reb Shimon argues in all cases. One is the max, you can't have more than one. And therefore, even if it happens simultaneous, you only mechayev for one. And that's the machlekes that was between Reb Chiya and Bar Kappara in all those three cases, which are Issa Vasachas, as we just illustrated, in the opinion of Reb Shimon, would you be chayiv only one or even two? Now that the Gemara asks, that if that's the interpretation of the machlekes, that's in the opinion of Reb Shimon, if you chayiv only one as we had known up until now, or as Reb Chiya said, even two, so the Gemara says, Bishlam Reb Chiya Kamishtabe, you could understand Reb Chiya would have to get up and take an oath. And the reason why he's taking such a strong stand to say you can be chayiv too is lafuka. Reb Shimon Mechazke is because it's coming to exclude from the previous assumptions we had about Reb Shimon's opinion. Because up until now, we knew he was the more lenient opinion. And that said, you're only going to be chayiv for oneness and not for two. And then Reb Chiya had to take a stand and make an oath and to say that if it happens simultaneously, he will agree to Reb Yosi that you'll be chayiv for two. But according to Bar Kappara, why does he have to get up, take an oath, and say, I promise this is what it was, only one? If that's obvious, according to Reb Shimon, that we always know he says you only chayev one. The Gemara says, Kasha, that seems to be a difficulty, which is not a refutation, but it's definitely a difficulty why he had to take such a strong stand. But now the Gemara says another question. Bishlam le Bar Kappara, we very well understand according to Bar Kappara, where, as we said, he can resolve his explanation according to his tradition that he had from Rebbe, as we're saying it's in Reb Shimon's opinion, that you're going to be chayiv only one. And he could also resolve and legitimize as an understanding what Reb Chiya had understood and why he said Rebbe said that you can be chayiv for two, as follows, because he would say, Ki asna Rebbe lididei, that when did Rebbe teach him that in Reb Shimon's opinion, that you're only going to be, that you're only chayiv for one, even when it's simultaneously that you're going to be potter from two. That was a libra de Reb Shimon as he's taking this stand. Reb Shimon holds you only chayiv one, always, even when it happens simultaneous. Now, although Reb Chiya seems to argue in him and tells him that no, Rebbe told him it's going to be two, because he asked Reb Chiya actually that when did Rebbe teach Reb Chiya that you can be chayiv for both, that was a libra de Reb Yosi. That was in Reb Yosi's opinion. Now, Reb Bar Kappara holds that Reb Chiya was mistaken and he thought that Rebbe was teaching him even according to Reb Shimon. But however, he's legitimizing it and saying, you're not lying, you're just mistaken. He did teach you this halacha, but it was in Reb Yosi who, yes, he holds Isser Chalal Issa, you could be chayiv for two, so the same thing would apply Issa Vasachas, but he didn't tell it to you in Reb Shimon. But El Reb Chiya, but the difficulty is, according to Reb Chiya, he would tell you that no, that Rebbe taught it to him even in Reb Shimon's opinion that you'd be chayiv for both. But then the question then becomes, so then what Bar Kappara is claiming, that Rebbe taught him that you're only going to be chayiv for one, then who would that be going like? Bakapar Shakui Meshaker, according to Reb Chiya, is Bakapara lying? Because according to Reb Chiya, Rabbi never taught anybody, in anyone's opinion, that you're going to be chayiv only one. Because according to Reb Chiya, Rabbi taught him, even in Reb Shimon's opinion, who he's the leading opinion, that you can be chayiv for two and have it simultaneous and not just one. So that the Gemara says, no, that's not a refutation of this interpretation. Their machlokes in these three cases was in what did Rabbi say in Reb Shimon's opinion when it happened simultaneous. So how does he legitimize Bar Kappara's opinion? Amar Lo Reb Chiya, but he would tell you that of course Bar Kappara is not lying. He's just mistaken. And that is that definitely Rabbi did teach to Bar Kappara that you're going to be putter from both. The only Michaev and one. However, he didn't tell him regarding all the three cases that we're arguing on. Rather, ki asni Rebbe l'didei, that when did Rebbe teach to Bar Kappara that you're only going to be chayiv on one of them, not on both Isurim, that was tarti lifter asnai. He taught him that two of the cases that we argued about, regarding two of those cases, he said you're going to be chayiv only on one. Those are the first two cases, regarding a zar that does davoida on Shabbos, and the Baal Mum that does the Avodah in the state of Tumah. With those two cases, as we had explained previously, are possible to be both in the situation of Isur Kail, or could even be simultaneous, as we explained that the reason why we fell off the previous interpretation that they're arguing Isur Kail was because we said, yeah, the first two cases are possible, but the third case has to happen simultaneous. Now, so Reb Chiya says that when Rebbe taught Bar Kappara that you only mechayev for one, yes, he taught him that halacha, he taught him regarding the first two cases. That's one variable. Continue on Talmud Beis. Now, the second variable is that truthfully is ve'isu koil asniyei. The halacha that Rebbe taught Bar Kappara, that you only mechayev for one, was in the case of isu koil. In other words, that when you have a situation of isu koil and zar shashimish b'shabes and the balmum shashimish b'tumah, that's where Rebbe taught him that you're going to be putter. And the third variable is that he was teaching him va'alibad Reb Shimon. That was in the opinion of Reb Shimon, where I agree that in those situations where it's Reb Shimon and it's Isser Koil, that in the first two cases where there it's possible that you're only mechayev for one. However, the problem is that when if they would happen at the same time, if it would be simultaneous, even let's say in those first two cases, that as I'm telling you, Rebbe told me that even Reb Shimon would agree that you'd be chayiv on both. Now, that and another idea is that what would come out if you, as Reb Chiya is trying to say that this is what Rebbe, he's assuming Rebbe had taught this to Bar Kappara, that however, let's say regarding the third case of that of Malika, that Rebbe never taught him that according to Reb Shimon that you would be only chayiv on one. Because actually that third case cannot be a case of Isser Koil. As we said before, it's only possible a case of Vas Achas. And there Reb Chiya is exclaiming and screaming and saying that no, that even Reb Shimon would agree in that case that you'd be chayiv on two, and that's what Rebbe taught me. Now, however, this is where the mistake happened. V'chazi l'bar kapara l'zar sha'ochel malika. Now, Bar Kappara, he only was taught those first two cases by Rebbe. But then he came across this third case that I'm arguing him regarding a non-Koyin that consumes the kachim that had Malika done to it, where he looked at it and he says, wait, this is very similar to the first two cases I heard from Rebbe, because it's kachim, like the first two cases, and it's one thing that you're doing that when you're doing that Isser, you're violating simultaneous two Isurim, which is both of Malika and of Zaras. Now, v'aydi d'damila, so Reb Chiya explains the chronology of what happened. So, since Bar Kappara said, wait, this seems very similar to those two cases Rebbe taught me, se'irva bahadayu, so he put them together in his halachas, his mishnayos, when he was learning his brises, he put them all together to say that these three cases are cases that you're going to be potter from two, you're going to be chayiv on one. Now, when he put them together, he didn't realize that there is a difference between this new case that he came across and the first two, where the third case is not conceptualized in the case of Isser Koil. Now, the Ayin Ba, at a later point in time, he was going through all his brises, and he was learning these three brises that he had together, and he analyzed them. And he says, wait a second, V'loy Ashkach, it's not possible to have all these three cases, El Bavas Achas, only, as you see clearly from the third case of Zar Sha'ochel Malika, that only if it happens simultaneously. Now, the problem is he forgot, Reb Chiya is explaining, that he's the one that mixed the third case with the first two cases. Now, Visavar, so he assumed that it was Rebbe that taught him that third case, that then you're going to be putter on both. So he said, wait a second. Midahal bevas achas, from the fact that the third case of Malika, it can only be having both Yisurim when they happen at the same time, as we explained, because the moment it has the Malika done to it, which creates this Malika, is the moment that it becomes Issazaras. Well, so Hanami Vasachas, it must be the first two cases. Must also be that they happened, that the Isser came simultaneous. Oh, Umidahanach Lifter, from the fact that in the third case of Malika is to say that, and this is what the Brises are telling me, that, oh, I had learned from Rebbe that you're going to be exempt from both. You're going to be chayav on one. So Hanach Nami Lifter, it must be the first two cases are also going to be that you're going to be exempt, and that is Rebbe had assumed, even if it happens simultaneous. But on that, Reb Chiya is explaining that is what he had made a mistake, and it's not true because he added it to the first two cases. And the truth is that Rebbe had only taught it to him in Reb Shimon when it's in the case of Issachar. But if it happens in Vas Achas, that's what Reb Chiya is saying, that no, Rebbe had never taught such halacha, and there is where it actually would be, even according to Reb Shimon, to be Chayv too. But it's not that Bar Kappa was lying, it's that he made this mistake. Now, and that's how Tosis concludes this sugya, which we had begun on the previous staff. However, this was their machlokes regarding Reb Shimon. But according to Reb Yosi, that everyone would agree that you'd be chayiv to Isurim when it's a case of Issachar, as Taisa explains, because you can't say that according to Reb Yosi, that even in such a case, Rebbe had taught to Bar Kappara that you'd be exempt. Because if so, Bar Kappara would never have made a mistake, as Reb Chiya, as we legitimized through Reb Chiya, the only way was because he had mixed Malika with the first two cases, because it's obvious to Bar Kappara, as we explained on Amet Alev, that according to Reb Yosi, that you would not be, that you would be chayiv too in the case of when it happens at the same time. And therefore, Taisus says that when the Gemara shortly explains, the Gemara takes for granted that according to Reb Yosi, you would be chayiv too in the case of Issachar, because obviously you have to say that it was only in the opinion of Reb Shimon that Rebbe had taught Bar Kappara, that in the case of Vas Achas, you're only chayiv one and not according to Reb Yosi. And therefore, we see that not only is Reb Yosi going to be chayiv too in the case of Vas Achas, but even in the case of Issachar. And this concludes the discussion from the previous staff, where obviously Reb Chiya and Bar Kappara argue in Reb Yochanan from the previous stop that Reb Yochanan assumed clearly that according to Reb Yosi, that yes, he says Issachar Issa by the case of Issa Maisiv, but he would not say it by the case of Issachar. Here we see clearly that Reb Chiya and Bar Kappara hold that in Reb Yosi's opinion, you would say Isser Vas Achas and also Isser of Issachar, that you would be chayiv on both. Their whole machlokes was, in the opinion of Reb Shimon, that where would Reb Shimon say over there, that although he says that you don't say Issachar al Isser by Issachar, but would he say that there would be two Issurim by Isser Vas Achas or not? That concludes that discussion. Now the Gemara says, Meisvei, the Gemara asks, from the following brayso on Bar Kappara's interpretation, where Bar Kappara said, and this was the machlokes, what Rebbe had taught, that he held that according to Reb Shimon, if it happens bevas achas, you're still going to be putter from both Yisurim. You're only mechayev on one. Not only does Reb Shimon say you're exempt from both by Isser Kail, but even Isser Vas Achas. But that the Gemara asks from the following brisa. The brisa says, Zar Shashimish B'Shabbos, which was from the cases that they were arguing about, regarding a non-kain that does the void on Shabbos. Or, like the second case, was Ubamim Shashimish B'Tumah, regarding a blemish kain that does the void also in the state of Tumah. So that the first opinion says, Yesh ka mishum zaris mishum Shabbos. There's two problems. There's a problem of being a non-kohen. There's a problem of Shabbos. Moreover, the second case, mishum ba'mum and mishum tumah, you have the problem that you're blemish and that you're doing a state of tumah. That's the Reb Yosi's opinion. Reb Yosi, who he's on record by saying that, as we see, that everyone agrees that by the case of having two Yisroel, you're chay for both. Shimon, he says, no. Ein kan el mishum zaris ba'mum b'vad. Each case, you're only liable for one, that of being a non-kohen, or of being a blemish kain. Now, on that the Gemara proves ve'ilu malika shaira. What we see clearly is that the third case that Bar Kappara and Priya argue about, the case of when the Zar eats malika, that was left out. So the question then becomes, laman shaira, for who did they leave it out? In other words, which one of these two opinions of Reb Shimon Reb Yosi concedes to the other opinion that they didn't have to mention it in the case that they're arguing about? One of them is going to come over to the other side. So the Gemara says, Elam the Reb Yosi, if you're going to say that it's that because Reb Yosi agrees in that case that you're right, then you're not going to be chayiv two, only one, how can you say that? Hashta Reb Yosi be Issachar, and this is like Tosfos had proved that both Reb Chiya and Bar Kappara agreed, not like Reb Yochanan, that if we say that according to Reb Yosi, that even by Issachar, where one of the Isurim came first. Still, Rabbi Yossi says that the second Issa will be Chal, and the Mechai Vishtayim, you'll be liable for both. So, when it's a simultaneous Isser, would we entertain that he's not going to be chayav both? In other words, the case of Malika is only possible in the state of Isser Vasachas. So there you can't say Rabbi Yossi would hold that you chayav only one, because as we said before, like their argument in Reb Shimon was, that, okay, Reb Shimon says you only chayav one by Koil, but maybe Vasachas he would be chayav two. So if Rabbi Yossi is chayav two by Koil, for sure he's going to be chayav two by Vasachas. So El Alav, so the Gemara concludes, rather you have to say, it's Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon, that he's the one that concedes in the case of Malika, that there you would be chayiv on two. So obviously you see from that case, that from the fact that he argues on the other two cases, that where it happens in the state of Koilil, like the first two cases, that's where he argues. However, as the Gemara explains, it's be'isr koilu de'pata, must be, however, that it's only in the case of the first two cases that when it's first to isr and then you're just including it in another isr, that's you're going to be exempt from the second isr. Avo be'isr bevas achas, but regarding when it's a simultaneous isr, which is like the case of Malika, that then mechayiv, then he would hold that you are chayiv for both. So the Gemara concludes, Tiyufta Bakapara, Tiyufta, that obviously refutes the opinion of Bakapara, and that we see, like Reb Chiya clearly, that when it is Isser Vasachas, that even Reb Shimon would agree that you would be Chayev on both, and that's why it left out in their argument between Reb Shimon and Reb Yossi, the case of Zar, Sha'achal, Malika. Now the Gemara goes to clarify the cases in that Braisa. We said Zar Shashimish B'Shabbos, regarding a non-Kayin that does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So there we had their machlekes regarding Reb Shimon and Reb Yossi, where, as we explained, it's obvious in the case of Issa Koil, are you mechayev one or you mechayev on both? So the Gemara asks, b'mai, what exactly did the non-Kohen do as an avoid in the Beis HaMikdash to then be violating both the Issa of Zaris and the Issa of Shabbos? Ibishchita, if it's that he slaughtered a carbon, well, shchita b'zar kasher, slaughtering is permitted to be done by a non-Kohen, there's no problem of Zaris, so that can't be the case, because then you won't have both Issa of Zaris and Shabbos. And if it's a full-fledged avoida, which is by receiving the blood of the carbon or by transporting it, well, that's tiltul ba'almahu. That's just the isra of muktzah. There's no isra of Shabbos. How can you say there's going to be, that's not a biblical isra to say that he's doing an isra. So where do you have the isra of malacha, the isra of Shabbos? You have the isra of malacha, of kabbalah ba'alacha. Where do you have the isra of Shabbos? Ibahaktara, if it's by sacrificing, by burning the karbanas, now that's a difficulty, because then how would Reb Yossi say that you'd be chayiv two, where the Gemara assumes right now that when he says you're chayiv two, he means two karban chatas, let's say when you do it b'shoigig, but the problem is, but ba'am Reb Yossi, Reb Yossi himself says in the first parak, havar l'lav yitzasa, that the reason why the Torah is singled out, that you're not allowed to make a fire, all the Lama Tes Malachas doesn't say explicitly in the Pasuk, but it says explicitly in the Pasuk regarding making a fire, is to say that, oh, fire is different than all the other 38 Malachas, where it's not going to be having any punishment of Karas, it's only going to be having a negative prohibition. So there also, the problem is that, of course, you'll be doing an Avodah, but you won't have the problem of Shabbos. So what exactly is this case of a Zar Shashimish B'Shabbos? What's the case that you're going to have the problem of Zaris and Shabbos at the same Maisa that you're doing? So Amar Vachabi Yaakov, he says, it's talking about a specific case. B'shchitas parishal kohen gadol. We're talking about that a non-kohen slaughters the bull of the kohen gadol. When do you have the kohen gadol bring a bull? On Yom Kippur, where the shchita then, as slaughtering, is an amalach. It's one lam tes malachas of Shabbos. And there, there's also going to be a problem of zaris. What's the problem of zaris? I thought a non-kohen could do shchita, because it's kedivri. I mean, it's going like the opinion mentioned in Masechtas Yumin Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph that holds shchitas parish of kohen gadol bazar psula. The slaughtering of the bull of the kohen gadol is invalid to be done with a non-kohen. So therefore, you'll have a problem of zaris, and you'll be having a problem of one lama tes malachas of shchita on Shabbos. But then the Gemara asks, Ihach, if that's the case, so my ears are, why do you have to pick a non-kohen? A fellow kohen had yanami, you could have even picked a regular kohen, but just not the kohen gadol. Because the one who invalidates, if it's not done through the kohen gadol, learns it out from the pasuk of Aaron, and that it says chuka. In other words, it says in the Vayikra Tezayin, the hikr of Aaron, and it says at the end of that parsha that lechok oilam. Now, wherever the Torah says chuka, it means that it's ma'akiv. It has to be done exactly how it's said. So we see it has to be Aaron that slaughters it, no one else. So it's the problem of zar shishimish b'shabbos could even be a kohen hedyot shishimish b'shabbos, because it's going to be something that he's a zar for, and then thus it's something that's forbidden for him to do. So then he was also violating malacha of Shabbos, because a kohen can't do malacha, only something that's permitted for him to do. So the Gemara concedes you're right. When we said zar shishimish b'shabbos, it means shizar etz loikomer, meaning that for him it's considered zaris. You're right, and that would even be a kohen hedyot, that he's considered zar for the parish or kohen gadol on Yom Kippurim, that he's also forbidden to do shechita, would be a problem of doing malacha of Shabbos and avoda in the of zaris in the Beis Hamikdash. Now that the Gemara actually gives a second resolution of this question, because through a question. Maskabel Rav Asha, he asks, wait a second, what was your problem with this case of Zar Shishimish B'Shabbos? Midich HaToyis Kotani? Does it say that Rabbi Yisi said you're going to be chayv two karban chatas, that you were bothered by saying, well, so how are you going to have a problem of these cases where, let's say, Haktara, where there's no chatas, it's Havar L'Lav Yatzas, or Lavi Kotani, does it say anywhere that you're going to be having a negative prohibition that you get Malkus? The only thing that it says, the Rebbe Yisrael says, you'll be violating two Isurim. And as Taisi Shannon brings from Pirsh HaKuntris, that you could even say it's talking about that this Zara did Kabbalah and Halacha. But the question you ask is, so good, so that's a problem of a Zaris, but what's the problem of Shabbos? That's not a question, because he didn't say you're going to be Chayiv too. He just said that there's going to be two Isurim, which is even by the case of total of Muktzah. There's no Chiv, there's no Karban Chatas you bring for that, there's no lashes you get for that, which Taisram doesn't like. But like Taisus says even, Taisus says, you're right, there's not going to be a Chat, there's not going to be a Lav, and the reason is because you're not going to have a Chalois of an Isur that's more lenient and a more stringent one, but basically what Rav Ashi is saying is that there's no prohibition, there's no punishment, there's no consequences that's coming out over here. It's just another Isser. And that could be even something as easy as a more lenient Isser like that of Muktzah. But then the question then becomes, so Lamai Nafkimin, and then you're going to ask me, wait a second, if there's no Karban Chatas, according to what I'm saying, and you don't have to find the case of Parish HaKohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim, so what's the ramifications of Rabbi Yisi saying that you're doing two Isurim if there's no consequences? Now the Gemara says, there is a consequence, even in this world. That's L'Kavri Ben Yisham Gemurim, to bury him between the fully wicked people. And that is, there's a difference if he's violating one Isser or two Isserim, not for punishment, because he's only going to get one Isser. That is, let's say it's in the case of when he did Haktaro or Kabbalah HaLacha, you're only going to get one Isser. However, the fact that you're also violating a second Isser will be in the consequence of where you're buried, which that's actually what the Gemara had on the previous daf had answered in the assumption of Rabbi Yechanan, who he said that there's no Isser Kail according to Rabbi Yasi, and said that the ramification would be in the case of when you have Nasa Meis, Vachkach Nasa Chai, where that's the case of Isser Kail. He says also the difference would be that Rabbi Yasi would say that Yechayiv too would not be in punishments, because you wouldn't, Rabbi Yechanan would say that Rabbi Yasi would hold that you would not say Isser Chalas in that case, but it would be, as the Gemara is concluding over here, regarding a situation of Lekaive Bein Risham Gemurim. And again, the Gemara concludes the discussion with previous staff. There seems to be machlokes, as Taisa explained, between Bakapar and Rebbi on the one hand and Rebbi Yechan on the other hand. What is the opinion of Rebbi Yasi regarding Isser Kail? Would he agree that there you'd be Chayiv Shtayim like Isser Maisiv, or that you would only be Chayiv one, as Rebbi Yechan said in the previous staff, in the case of Isser Kail? Now the Gemara resumes and continues with the second Mishnah, which is similar in some way regarding the previous Mishnah. When you have two brothers marrying two sisters, here it's Shnaim Shekitru Shtei Nashim. You have two regular individuals, unrelated, that marry two women. Now, however, the Mishnah says as follows. U'b'shas k'nisas l'chuppah, when they then have chuppah, when they get married, at that moment, hechlifu eshal zeh l'zeh v'eshal zeh l'zeh. They then swap wives. So on that, the Mishnah says, Harei l'chayav m'shemesh asish. So now each one is liable for cohabiting with a married woman, because they each got married, and right after the chuppah, they switched wives. That's Issa Esh Asish. Moreover, v'imhoya achen, if they were brothers, who then married, then m'shemesh asach. Then you'd be liable not only that she's a married woman, she's also your brother's wife. And that's another Issa. V'imhoya achayis, now if it was two brothers marrying two sisters, which that's the case as the previous Mishnah, then Mishim Isha Lachaisa. Then you're also going to have an Isser of Achais Ishtoib, of marrying a woman and her sister, because you married to this woman, and then you went swapped and took her sister. That's Isser of Achais Ishtoib. Those are three arises of Isha Sis, Isha Sach, and Achais Ishtoib. Now, Vimhoi Nides, if besides that she was menstruating, then Mishim Nida, then you're violating also when then you cohabit her with the Isser of Nida. Now, the Mishnah says, so what you have to do now is, So before they could come back to their real husbands, they swapped, and that's a problem. You have to separate them 3 months. Shemamu barasin, because maybe from the cohabitation they had with the wrongful husband, then maybe they became pregnant. Those children are mamzerim, they're illegitimate children because it was through a union of eshtesish or eshtesach or chesisha. And you have to be able to differentiate between kosher children and those which are invalid, which are mamzerim, so that they don't go ahead and mix with the Jewish people. A mamzer cannot marry lekal. And the problem is because if they go right back to their husbands, that they're going to say, oh, this child was from my rightful husband. And we want to be able to differentiate and see. And it takes 3 months to notice if she's pregnant or not. So you have to separate them for 3 months. But but if they're minors that weren't fit to be impregnated, then they can go right back to their husbands. We say, what's going on over here? This is a wrong thing. And we send them back to the rightful husbands because there's no need to differentiate because they're not becoming pregnant anyway. Now, the Mishnah concludes, v'mhoyu kahanes, if they were women that are kahanim. Now, the Gemara will explain exactly what the case is talking about, because kahanas generally is the term used for a bas kohen, and it seems like from a Mishnah that's talking about if they're the wives of kahanim, and that the Mishnah says, nifslu minat truma, they become invalidated from truma, because they had a maisas nus, and a maisas nus makes them invalid for truma. And actually, some Rishonim, as some Achronim say that that's the Girsa in Rashi, is that the Girsa is that Nifslum in HaKuhuna, they become invalidated from Kuhuna because of this illicit relationship they had with this wrongful husband. Now, the Gemara asks a basic question over here. Hechlifu? You're saying that they swapped wives? Midi Birshia Askan? Are we talking about with wicked people? Whatever, right after the Chuppah, they said, oh, you know what? You take her and I'll take her. Why would we talk about in Halacha about such wicked people? Moreover, how can you say that that's the case? Hadutan Reb Chiya elaborated on the halacha of our Mishnah in his Brisa, and he said, you know, regarding these cases that we discussed, harikan shesh esrei chatos, you know what's going to happen after this one night that before we return them to the husbands? It's going to be that there's going to be 16 carbon chatos being brought to the Beis HaMikdash. How so? Each of these four people will be bringing four carbon chatos, which are the two men and the two wives, because the two wives are also liable, as it says regarding negative prohibitions. And as we said, there's Eishas Ish, there's Eishas Acha, Chaisisha, there's Nida. Now the problem is, Iba Meizim, Yaka Karban, if it's that they swap wives, which they would deliberate, when you do it Issa B'Meizid, deliberately, you don't bring a carbon, so how can you bring 16 carbon chatois? So Rabbi Huda amends, he says, Tinei Hochlofu. Read it, not that they swap, but they got mixed up. And that is, it could be you could have these 16 karma chatois where the same night you have two brothers who are marrying two sisters and they were both a chuppas nida and they mixed them up and by mistake they went and cohabited with the wrong woman, then you're going to have 16 karma chatois being brought. So the Gemara says, hachinam istab, it actually makes more sense like Rabbi Huda. The Ketani Sefer, because the end of the Mishnah said, im hoyu ketanis she'enu ruis leilid, if the women were minors that are not fit to become pregnant, then they take them right back to their rightful husbands. Now the problem is, if it was talking about that they swapped, that they were deliberate in doing this improper thing, misharyu, would they be permitted? What do you mean? She's a woman that's mizana, tachas baila, she's a seita vade, that she's forbidden to a husband, leboil, she's forbidden to all these people. Obviously, it's talking about that it was done b'shaygig, and that it was huchlufu, not that they were machlef. Nothing more actually rejects that proof, because holy kasha, that wouldn't be a difficulty. You could say it actually was b'mezid. But Peter Ketana Oynes Ninu, a Talmudic dictum is that a seduction of a minor is actually considered that it was involuntary because she doesn't have the das, she doesn't have the knowledge to consent or not, and her consenting is actually considered forcefully. And V'Oynes B'Yisrael, when a woman is violated that's married to a Yisrael and it was against her will, Mishishar, then she'd actually permit it to her husband, as the Gemara Subas Nafnanalfa Mabez learns from the words, Vehi loinis fasa, if she wasn't forced, then she's forbidden to her husband. Sounds like, but if she was forced, if she was grabbed and forced to have these relations, then she's permitted to her husband. So yeah, that wouldn't be a problem. It could be the minor would actually go back to the husband, even if it was deliberate, because their deliberate is considered actually a case of not being deliberate, because they're considered anusud, they don't have the knowledge to have consented. So rather, El Gemara says the proof to Rabbi Huda's interpretation that it was b'shoygin, not b'meizid, was diktani from the other part of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Mafrishin oisin shleish chadashim shemem ubarasin. We said regarding the adult women, if they were not minors, that then you have to separate them for 3 months to see that maybe they're pregnant. And then you have to be able to differentiate if they're mamzerim or not, were they from the boil or the baal. Now the inference is, halav mubaris, but if they weren't pregnant, or as Rashi says, meaning, or if it was waited 3 months, then it sounds like shayin, then they would be permitted. Even if they're adults, they would be permitted to their husbands. But the problem is, v'bimezin mishari, but if it was done deliberately, would they be permitted? It's a regular maisis nus. They get married and they swap. That's not permitted. So rather, from that part of the Mishnah, you can infer like Rabbi Yehuda, that must be hochlufu, that they got switched. Shmamino, we can infer from there, but not that they had swapped, but rather that they got switched. And that's the halachas, as Rabbi Yehuda said, is going to be the case if all those variables were true, of bringing 16 carbon chatoyes to the Beis HaMikdash the next day.